So today we're going to discuss the interesting bracha of Mila. The Gemara itself, we're going to learn towards the end of the Zman, it's going to go through the actual Nuschaos, but there is something interesting, something unique about the bracha of Mila. And so we'll first go through Api Halacha, how that comes out, the unique nature of the bracha of Mila, at least in this context. And at the end we'll discuss a little bit what that means in a deeper level, bracha and the connection between bracha and the bris Mila and the os bris Kodesh. But the Gemara discusses the din of which types of milas would be docha Shabbos. So the Gemara very clearly tells us on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, the Kuf Lamed Hey, that only in Arlas of Vadai is docha Shabbos, not a case of Suffolk. The Gemara brings examples of Androgynous as one of the examples of a Suffolk, and that Suffolk is not docha Shabbos. Tomorrow we're going to discuss the Indian of Hatafas Dan Bris, which is a fascinating sugya. But Lagabe, this din of giving Androgynous a bris Mila, we're not sure exactly which gender it is, whether it has an arla. It doesn't have an arla, so we're makbid to give a mila, whatever that means, but we don't do this on Shabbos. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mila, Per Gimel, that Ger Shemal Kodim Shinis Gayer, Rekotin Shinola Kishumal, Kimishatipin Mimenu Dam Bris, Einam Tzrichim Bracha. You don't say Bracha when there's Hatafas Dam Bris. And we're going to learn tomorrow why that is. There's a Briski Rav on this. But then he writes, "V'chein androgynous ein mevarchen al ha milasa, v'pnei shu ein azachar v'adai." But we don't say a bracha on the androgynous because it's a suffik. We know there's a klal throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, suffik brachos lahaka. And since we don't know the gender of this androgynous, we don't say bracha. And the Ravid has a very striking response, and he says, "No, that this is a suffik deraisa, and on a suffik deraisa, we taka do say a bracha." Except for Demai, because really Demai is not much of a suffix. Most people are mafrish. But outside of Demai, anytime there's a suffix there, so we say a bracha. And that, to all of us, should be very surprising, because we all always taught from the beginning, in first grade, that whenever you don't know, suffix there, bun, lakula. And all brachas are there, bun, with the exception of which ones? Benching and Berachas HaTorah, according to most Rishonim. So benching, everyone agrees, benching is their isa, and therefore suffik their isa l'chumra. And Birchas HaTorah, according to most poskim, is their isa, and suffik brachos l'chumra, perhaps, but maybe certain ones, but not for now. But all other Birchas HaMitzvahs, all other Birchas HaNet, and all other brachos are all derabanan. So why does a Ravid say suffik der isa l'chumra? Any suggestions? We're going to focus on Shitas Rambam for the most part, but what's the suggestion of the Ravid why he would say Sabek Deraisa L'chumra in this case? Mila is Deraisa. The mitzvah is Deraisa, but not the bracha. So how does it explain the bracha? So the Chacham had the ability that they mitzarif the bracha, so there are rayas for this. There are rayas, there's a discussion in the Gemara and Brachos based on the Mishnayos and Truma, that an Elaim, we don't suggest an Elaim is Mafrish Truma. But in Tarim, Truma's a Truma. Why not? Why can't an Elaim Mafrish Truma? You can't say the Bracha. So who cares? So you can still do the Mitzvah. You can't do the Bracha. What's the big deal? Elamai, we see from there that the Bracha is essential to the Mitzvah. Now, it's not Ma'akev the Mitzvah, but it's critical to the Mitzvah. And therefore, L'chachila, a person who should be able to speak, should do the Mitzvah so that he could do the Bracha. So there are some indications that Chachamim had attached the bracha in such a strong way to the mitzvah, and the bracha follows suit. Now you have to deal with a lot of kashas, but that's one approach. There is another approach that perhaps throughout Shas, brichas and mitzvahs are actually deraisa. There's a Rashi in brachos daf mem ches mem beis, and this is part of a larger discussion. Brichas hanenin, the sugya in brachos, and the Pnei Yeshua there, it says brichas hanenin is deraisa. There is a mahalach that one could build that brachos are actually deraisa, and that might be the position of the Ravid. So if we stop here, the very simple machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid is, are brachos deraisa, brachos derabanan? The Rambam assumes brachos are derabanan, which is how we would all assume, and that's why safek bracha lahakel, there is no bracha by androgynous. And the Ravid would be in the camp that brachos are deraisa, like a Rashi and Pnei Yeshua and brachos, and therefore safek deraisa would be l'chumra. That would be the simple understanding. But there is another conversation that we have to have here, is about what would be the problem if one were to say the bracha if he doesn't have to. What's the risk involved? So there's a suffix. So safek truma, we do truma. Safek mila, we give a mila. Every safek, every mitzvah, we're machmir. There's no risk involved. So what's the risk in saying a bracha? Right, what's the risk? What's the downside of saying a bracha when you don't have to? Bracha l'atala. Moti shem shemayim l'atala. Saying Hashem's name in vain, and if it's not necessary, so that's the downside. So how much of a downside is that? How big of a problem is that? Everyone agrees if I say Shem Hashem, I just say Yud Kei Vav Kei, I say it out of context. Everybody agrees in Isser of Lo Sisa, Shem Hashem Shav, there's an Isser der Isser. But I'm saying in the bracha, I'm saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehyeh B'Devaro. So how bad is that? I'm still saying Hashem, He created the entire world. Everything, all the Hanah comes from Him. Bari my name is Mizonos. Okay, I'm not eating now, but I'm still saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created Mizonos. He created Peros. He created Peros HaAretz, Peros HaAdama. What's so bad about that? So this is where we get to a very important machlokas in the Rishonim about whether Bracha Levatala is a Daraisa or whether Bracha Levatala is an Isser Midirabanim. So there are many Rishonim who weigh in here. It's really the Rambam up against all the other Rishonim. Tosfos, Rosh Hashanah, along with the Rosh and others, all say that it's a Dirabanan. So what's the discussion in Tosfos? Tosfos quotes a Gemara that tells us that Michal bas Shaul wore tefillin. Okay, so all the liberals have a source that already times in the Nevi'im they wore tefillin, not only Rashi's daughters, but even Michal bas Shaul wore tefillin. Fine. The Ishto Shayona, the wife of Yonah, she did Aliyah L'Regel, really very, very religious. She went to do Aliyah L'Regel. And there's a Gemara in Chagiga that tells us that women cannot do smicha na karvan. Only men can do smicha, not women. But we want to give nachas ruach and make them feel good and part of the shul, so we let them do smicha. That's unfortunately the basis for many liberal things, that, you know what, the women won't be part of the shul. Let's move the mechita and take the Sefer Torah back here so they can kiss the Sefer Torah. Why can a woman kiss the Sefer Torah? Because she might be nida and it's matami the klap, but it's not really true. They think of all these reasons how it's allowed, and they use the Gemara and Chagiga, nachas ruach, make them be very, very happy. Whatever they want, we could do. They could wear tefillin, they could lay, they could take down the mechitza, they could sing, they could do whatever they want. So that's based on these sugyas here. Now we, of course, say that many of these things are not allowed to do, but we allow them to do mitzvahs nonetheless, certain types of mitzvahs that Chacham felt they can do. Tefillin is not one of them. They're allowed to shake lulav if they want. They don't have to. It's a mitzvah asay shes ma'an grama. They can sin the sukkah if they want, but they don't have to. There are many mitzvahs that women do that they don't have to. Unless, afay nu yubo sanes, right? We learned that last week. So other than that, mitzvah asay shes ma'an grama, they're potiful. If they want to do the mitzvah, do they say a bracha or not? So I think we have one Sephardi here, right? So it's in the Karmeli home, the women don't say brachas, I assume. They're not allowed to say the brachas. The Rambam says they can't say brachas. They could do the mitzvahs, say she'as man grama, but never. His sisters have never. Well, they get married in Ashkenazi, so now it changed. So I guess his two older sisters now, perhaps the third one now, is going to all say the first time in Tiyas Lulav, very, very exciting for them. So either way, but in the Svard and Pasim, they don't say brachas. They don't say brachas on mitzvah asei shehas ma'an grama. And Ashkenaz and their ma say we do. So the Tosa says, how could a woman say a bracha on netiyas lulav? They're not chayiv. Isn't a bracha shein tzricha? Is it perhaps bracha l'atala is a little extreme? And the Rambam Tosa says, it's not a big deal. Bracha l'atala is only a drasha midirabanan. Again, to be clear, moti shem shemaim levatala is deraisa. That's a sefer dibros. But to say it in the context of a bracha, an unnecessary bracha, whether it be in a tzricha or a bracha l'atala, without getting involved in the differences, that's only an iser midirabanan. So the risk, the loss, is not so great, and therefore the Rambam, the Tosfos is more comfortable with women saying a bracha, even though it's a mitzvah asay, she has man grama.
The reason is because you're giving shevach.
Exactly, that's how they explain it. You're giving shevach l'adah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the risk in saying a Shem Hashem or a bracha l'vatala is not so bad, balancing all that out. The Rambam, however, says in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Yud Beis, Hashemeya Haskaras Shem Pi Chaveiro L'Shav. You hear guys say Hashem's name in vain. Oshen Nishba L'Fana L'Sheker, and makes a false Shavua. Oshen Birich Bracha Shein Atzricher, says an unnecessary bracha. He's over Mishim Noses Shem Hashem L'Shav. So the Rambam equates a bracha sheinat tzricha, a bracha latala, to shvuas hashav and to saying Hashem's name l'shav. It's an iser deraisa according to the Rambam. And the Magen Avraham makes this very clear that this is a machlokas between the Rambam versus the Tosos, whether bracha levatalas, bracha sheinat tzrichas are an iser deraisa or an iser midrabanan. So this would explain, the Acharon point out, that's why the Rambam says a woman should not say a bracha on mitzvahs aseh she has mangrama, because there's a lot of risks involved there. Because you're saying perhaps a bracha levatala, and now you're dealing with a deraisa according to the Rambam. So that's why the Rambam comes out that a woman should not say a bracha on a mitzvah aseh she has mangrama. They could perform the mitzvah, but they shouldn't say a bracha.
Lefitosis, what's the svar though for them to make bracha? Since like, even if it's less at stake, it's still...
It's balancing out, yeah, as he pointed out, because it's still a bracha shel hodah. It's not just saying Hashem's name in vain. There's a certain purpose to it. So even though the Gemara don't talk about it, that there's a chiyuv for them to say it, whether they're allowed to or not allowed to say it, since it's a bracha a shevach, and at worst it will be only iser midirabanan, that combination allows them to say it. But for the Rambam, a bracha of shevach is not, making their own brachas a shevach is not enough of a reason to go up against a possible iser deraisa of lo sisa Hashem Hashem.
Shouldn't you just play it safer and not do it at the risk of iser deraisa?
No, because... you know, since it's a derabanan and there's a value in saying the bracha, you know, whether you want to say as extreme as you said that they made it as part of the mitzvah or just stam birchas hashavach, we're not going to shy away anytime there's a scare. We're involved, we're happy to take risks sometimes. We have to weigh out the different risks. So it's not a risk for no purpose. It's a risk because there's a gain. A bracha is a very important thing. And therefore, they're willing to take that risk. But once a risk is a deraisa, the Rambam is not willing to take that risk. That's what how the Achronim explain. So now setting this up, this very important fundamental machlokas, whether bracha levatala, bracha neshen tzricha, is an issa deraisa, or an issa derabanan, that's a way we can now explain the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid by androgynous, whether one said a bracha. It's a case of a safek. So for the Rambam, it's a case of a safek, and therefore they're dealing with playing with fire here. It's an issa deraisa. If you don't need a bracha here and you say a bracha, that's an issa deraisa, and therefore a safek. Deraisa, you should be lachomra. Safik iser lachomra, you shouldn't say a bracha. The Ravid would be in the camp of all the other Rishonim, like Tosfos, who holds that a bracha levatala, bracha shantzicha, is only, at worst, an iser midirabanam. And therefore, he's comfortable, even though there's a safik, so he says one could go ahead and say a bracha nonetheless. Now, that's not really a satisfactory way to explain the Ravid, because he does say it's a safik deraisa, you should say the bracha. But seemingly behind the Rav, part of his conversation, part of his discussion, would be Safek Deraisa. That's Isser of Bracha Latala is a Deraisa as well. Because again, if you were to say that saying Bracha is a Deraisa, and saying Bracha Latala is also a Deraisa, so they have two Sveikos. Whenever there's a Safek Bracha, there's a Safek, you might fulfill a Deraisa of a Bracha, but you might also violate a Safek Deraisa of Bracha Latala. So the Rav wouldn't come out and say you should get the Mitzvah Deraisa to be docha the Safik Isser of Bracha Levatala as well. And therefore, I believe the Ravid would have to say that although fulfilling of saying a bracha is a kim deraisa, saying a Bracha Levatala would only be an Isser mid derabanan. Because I don't think you'd apply Asi Docha Losa, say, in this case. I don't think that would be relevant. I think the Ravid has to assume that the Bracha Levatala would only be an Isser derabanan. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding. But having this in mind, this machlokas, at least between the Rambam and the Ravid, Rambam and the Tosas rather, whether bracha, the vatala is a deraisa, the rabbanim, impacts many other areas of halacha as well. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, the Gemara and Tosos yet, but it's a well-known discussion. Hopefully you've seen this. If not, you should put it on your list of things to learn about birchas hananin. Birchas hananin is a fascinating sugya in Ketzim Mevarchim. It runs throughout all of Maseches Brachos about the nature of birchas hananin. So one of the most important Marmukomos on understanding the nature is a Tosfos and Rabbi Kivi Eger and Gilyan Ashas on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph in Maseches Brachos. And there the Gemara is talking about a Safik, a guy thought it was beer, or he thought it was wine, and he said this bracha, that bracha, he wasn't sure what to do, and the Gemara is not clear what the answer is. And the Rif says, since it's a Ibai Delivshita, you go Lakula. Because he invokes the Klal, Safik, brachas lekula. But then the Tosas says, no, one should be machmer and sarach levarich pamacharis. You should say the bracha again with clarity. If you know it's beer, say shakal. If you know it's wine, you should say agafen. So if there's a machlokas within Tosfos, whether you're machmir by brachos or not machmir by brachos. So Rav Kveger writes that why we won't be machmir, we have a klal, safek brachos lakula. So he says birchas hananin is different. Why is birchas hananin different, guys? You guys learn this? What's different about birchas hananin? It's a matir, right? To matir, the Gemara's tell us that there's an isser me'ila. For you to eat the crackers without asking Hashem first, so that's stealing from Hashem. It's me'ila, it's gezeila. Rav Kveger takes it very seriously. In a couple places he writes this, it's mamish like stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's an iser involved there. So if I were to go ahead and drink the beer, or drink the wine, and not say a bracha, I'm violating the iser. So therefore, although by other brachos I could be mekel, safek brachos of mitzvahs I could be mekel, when it comes to birchas hananin, it's a matir, and therefore I have to go ahead and say the bracha and be machmir. It's unique to birchas hananin. I should point out, just as an aside, the Rambam mentions, he has this equation, kishem shemavarchin al birchas hamitzos, kach mevarchin al birchas hananin. I forget exactly the language. He has this kishem line. So how do you view that? How do you read that kishem? He's equating birchas hamitzos to birchas hananin. So Rav Soloveitchik understood that birchas hamitzvah is also a matir. Like, who am I think there's a ritual he quotes to prove this point, who am I to pick up lulav? Like, who am I to engage in the world of ruchnius? Like, what lets me in there? So just like I need a heter to be able to eat a cookie, I need to ask Hashem Rishus, I also need to ask Rishus to do a davar Shabbat Kedusha. So therefore, just like there's a matir for birchas hananin and eating gashmis, there's also a matir in eating ruchnius and being involved in ruchnius. This is the understanding of the Rambam. The problem becomes, it doesn't work out nicely, because the Rambam says, Safek brachos lahakel, bein b'birchas hananin, and birchas hamitzvos. So you have to explain somehow how he gets out of this. My understanding, I'm not one to argue with Rav Soloveitchik, certainly not, but when I learned the Rambam, I understood that really birchas hananin is not a matir for the Rambam, it's really a birchas shevach v'hoda. Just giving praise to Hashem. And if there's a suffix, so you don't get praise, you just eat the food, there's no iser involved. And birchas hamitzvah is also just a shevach tashem, it's not a matir, it's just a shevach tashem for allowing me to do a mitzvah of a nitzis lulav of sukkah. But this is the big question when it comes to understanding the nature of birchas hananin, understanding the nature of birchas hamitzvah, is it a bracha, birchas shevach v'ado, or is it a birchas, or is it a matir? That's the big question. So when the Rambam writes his din, the Rambam, if you look inside, this is number nine in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Dalet. The Rambam writes, "Mishen is topic lo in birch hamotzi olo birch hamotzi eino chozem mevarich mipnei she eino min haTorah. One does not repeat birch hasanenin because it's not min haTorah." So part of this conversation is the Rambam l'shitasa. Whenever there's a safek, we don't say it because he says the risk involved in saying a bracha l'atala is one of an iser deraisa, and therefore the Rambam says across the board by all sveikos, so all safek brachos, one should not say it. While according to the Tosfos who said one should be machmir in saying the bracha again even in a case of safek, because he says, okay, the worst case scenario is you violate a bracha l'atala, and that at best is an iser derabanan, and therefore the Rambam, rather the Tosfos, is more comfortable repeating a bracha because the risk is less, while the Rambam is not comfortable because the risk is much more severe. Again, it's tali on whether or not the bracha l'atala is an iser deraisa or an iser mi derabanan. You guys get the chance to see that sugyan Shabbos on Tamach Tesem and Beis about the Holech B'Midbar. So there, the Gemara is a fascinating sugya there. It's so interesting. It's not so relevant, but oftentimes, the most irrelevant cases, you have the most fascinating sugyas and principles that are able to be drawn out. That some people, you know, oftentimes people don't learn so much. They get so bothered by, how can they talk about such a crazy case? Is it really possible to happen? It's never true. Why are they talking about such crazy cases? Sometimes the cases happen. You know, there's actually a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Rabbi Yochanan was telling his Talmidim how there are these huge, massive diamonds out in the water. And the Talmud was making fun. It doesn't exist. Come on, it doesn't really exist, these things. And then one time he was traveling in a boat and he saw like Malachim chiseling out these huge diamonds. He ran back and told his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, Taka Rebbe, what you said was true. He said, of course it was true. You only believe me because you saw it? And he looked at him and turned him into a heap of bones. So, yeah, whatever the Gemara discusses, there's a lot of truth to it. But it's not so much about the truth of the Gemara. It's because when you look at extreme cases, you're able to pull out, draw certain principles, as opposed to when they're basic questions. So one of the extreme cases the Gemara talks about is a guy who's mahalich b'derech or b'midbar. He doesn't know when it's Shabbos. And the first opinion says he should count 6 days, and then he should keep Shabbos. And then others say, no, first keep Shabbos, then he should count 6 days. Fascinating discussion about how we view Shabbos as being the Bries Olam from Hashem's perspective, because Hashem created 6 days, and then there's Shabbos. Or do we look at Adam Arishon's perspective, because the way he came to the world, he first celebrated Shabbos, and then he had 6 days afterwards. So that itself is just a fascinating Gemara. But then the Gemara wants to know, okay, so it's Shabbos for him. What's he supposed to do? Should he do mitzvahs? Should he not do los haseis? This is actually very relevant to Lach Lamaisa now with international dateline. A very complicated sugya. Just wrapping your head around that idea, forgetting and plugging the lach is very confusing. How you could be one day Shabbos, the next day could be Friday. You go backwards in time, or you could skip a whole day. And people now travel so much to East China. So that, you know, there's always like a question of fast day. What do you do on a fast day? So you have one guy who's keeping a 2-day fast day possibly. And one guy who could completely circumvent a fast day, which is fascinating. He could like skip a whole fast day. Or Sfiras Omer, you know, you could miss a whole day of Sfira. You just, the way it works, you skip it. So now, could you still continue to count with the bracha? Or let's say you have 2 days in a row, you could have 2 days, 36 days in a row. You could experience nightfall of Sunday night 2 times. So do you count Sfira twice with the bracha? So these are fascinating. Now, on top of that conversation is also, where exactly is international dateline? Is it through South Korea? Where is it? Now they make things even more complicated because they go through the North Pole. Now when you think about the North Pole, it's really confusing then. You go into night and then you go back into day, and tonight in like 10 minutes you could experience sunset twice. It's very, very confusing. So that being the case, this is like a very important sugya for international dateline halachas. People who go to Hawaii is a very tricky place because the Chazon Ish felt that it goes based on a Mesorah. Based on the Mesorah of the place where they kept Shabbos. Hawaii has no Mesorah. So there's a Chabad there now. So can you create a Mesorah that never existed? A turkey, you know, birds. You can only have birds that are part of Mesorah. And Jacob, or animals also, right? So, but it's understood from the Gemara that you have to have a Mesorah for birds. So you come to America, there are no Jews living here. Turkeys have all the simanim for a kosher bird, but it's not part of the Mesorah. So could you create new Mesorah? So that's part of the conversation as well, creating the Mesorahs. And so Hawaii becomes very tricky. So many Rabbanim say that you should really keep 2 days Shabbos there, and it becomes very, very tricky. So I would highly recommend not to go to Hawaii, and not only for that reason, there are other good reasons not to go to Hawaii as well. Okay. Everyone who's, my understanding is, I often tell my guys who come to the Sunday morning shir, the Baal Batim, anybody who's dedicating the Sunday morning, in my eyes, is Yiras Shemayim, and just Baal Nefesh, and should be Machmir. When the poskim say Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, anyone here should be Machmir. So anybody who's spending their summer learning is a Baal Nefesh, and should be Machmir, and the things that are appropriate for you to be Machmir on. I hope, just on that note, just going on tangents, everyone here should be, I assume, keeping 6 hours between Milchiks and Fleishiks, right? Okay, good, beautiful. So back to the sugya now. I got in trouble, actually, last week. My parents were, they went to someone's house, a friend of theirs, for Shabbos up in the country. I was talking to my parents before Shabbos, and then the Baal Bas wanted to speak to me. He said, and he's a very, very strong Yeki, he's a good friend of my family. And so he says, I was shocked. You told me this week I can't keep my 3 hours anymore. I have to keep 6 hours. I said, no, you're really a real yaki. You know, you're a real yaki. His father was a chashev, a chaver in Breuers. You could keep 3 hours. But everyone in the base medrash who's spending the all day in learning in kolel in the summer should definitely keep 6 hours. Okay. So what does that have to do with our conversation here? What are we talking about even? We're talking about brachos, brachal vatala. So the Gemara tells us that one of the ways to make that sixth, that seventh day different, b'may minkar, asks the Gemara, how do you make that seventh day different? You're walking around the desert not knowing when is Shabbos. So you do your calculation of however you calculate it. B'kdusha v'avdalasa. By saying Kiddush and Avdalah is how one makes that day different. So Rashi says, L'zichron ba'alma, just as a remembrance of it, she'yehe lo she'asham yom chalak mishayam, so there should be a distinction of the other days, lo tishtekach Shabbos mimenu, and not to forget Shabbos. L'zichron ba'alma, meaning Rashi agrees, statistically, unlikely you're going to get the right Shabbos. So you do it just to remember, just so you don't forget. That's fascinating. The Ritva asks a question on Rashi, how are you allowed to do that? How could you say bracha? Heyach yomer brachos ala safek. So maybe Rashi means don't say Shem Hashem, just say Baruch Ata Bori Pre. Well, Guffin's fine because the guy, most likely the guy doesn't have a wine anyways. So Ritva actually points out here, he says you say it on bread. Because Mestama, there's no wine in the Midbar. There's no bread in the Midbar either. But I guess the guy must have brought bread with him. He had some bread. So he says Kiddush Avdol on bread, even though normally there's a heter to say Kiddush on bread. We never find the heter to say Avdol on bread. But he says, this is Mamash Shabakum Shi'efshar. You can even say Avdol on bread. That's a big Kiddush of the Ritva. But then he asks, but how do you say the bracha? So fine, you could say Hamoti Lechem and Aretz on bread. That's fine. But to say the whole Kiddush, Mekadosh Shabbos, how could you say that? It's a Safek. You have no idea if it's a Shabbos or it's a Wednesday. So says the Ritva, Yesh Lomar de Safek Bracha Levatala Isura Dirabanan Hu, and therefore you're allowed to say it. It's a Safek, you're right. But since you're weighing out the different options, you want to remember Shabbos, Shelo Tishkach, and at worst it's going to be a Dirabanan Isur of a Bracha Levatala, so that weighs out each other, neutralizes the Isur Dirabanan, and you could go ahead and say the Bracha. But according to the Rambam now, who holds that a bracha levatala is an iser daraisa, how does the Rambam allow you to say Kiddush Havdalah in the Midbar? Anyone see this? Radbaz on this yet? Any suggestions how the Rambam would allow you to say Kiddush Havdalah if a bracha levatala of a safek would be an iser daraisa? So take a look at the last Mar Malkum, number 10, the Chuas Radbaz. Radbaz says, if you just look at the tshuva here, he's talking about people who are actually traveling from east to west, and it seems like he's referring to the international dateline. I don't know the history of when this was discovered or how it works, but what? Oh, sorry. So he's talking about people traveling when it's fascinating. It sounds like he's going to a place in the west where it's Shabbos for them, but where he is, it's still Chol. So there's something with the calendar and the timing of things. So he writes, if you look at the tshuva, he writes, Shelazu Navocha Barabim v'nichbadim. It was very, many people grappled with the Shaila. Aba Odiacha Daitiba, I'm going to let you know my personal opinion when it comes to the Shaila. And listen to what he says. This goes against everything that you guys knew before this. And I also knew before. Ki Shabbos Nimsira. Wait, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yantif? Right. We create Yom Tov. And Shabbos, who creates Shabbos? Hashem, it's already created. We know when Shabbos is. It never changed from the day the world was created. But the Radbaz is going to throw that out. Ki Shabbos nimsra l'chol echad miYisrael. We are given the ability to create Shabbos. Shenemar ki os hi beini uveinechem. And just like kimo she'os bris, right, that we're talking about all summer, os bris hu l'chol echad v'echad, we all have our own os bris. V'chein haShabbos, we each have our own Shabbos. Nimser l'chol echad v'echad. V'chevin sheHaShabbos nimser l'chol echad b'chol makom shehu, wherever he is, he's mona shishi yomim u'basof hashishi osa Shabbos shuzeich l'maaseh bereishis. According to Radbaz, then you keep Shabbos in the Midbar, it's not a zichron ba'alma. It's mamash haShabbos d'oraisa because it was nimser l'chol echad v'echad. So when you're in Woodmere, you need to go los eskodu. You can't make your own Shabbos. But when you're in the Midbar and there's no Kehila and there's no Minog, you can make your own Shabbos whenever you want, and that would allow you to say a bracha, bracha to Hashem, and it's not a violation of bracha, levatala, for the Rambam. Fascinating tshuva. Okay. This is an interesting piece just to note. I'll just mention it if you want to take a look. The Minchas Asher talks about the Indian of bracha levatala with regards to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Ol Yilam Ve'ed, which is of course relevant for saying two brachas on tefillin, which by the way, might be why the Svardim don't say two brachas and Tefillin, Ashkenazim do. Right? The Svardim say one bracha for both. And Ashkenazim say two. But what do we do after the second? Why don't we say Baruch Shem? So part of that conversation is about whether Tefillin is one mitzvah and two mitzvahs. But also part of it is, for the Rambam, for the Svardim, for Shulchan Aruch, you're saying a bracha levatala perhaps. So that's a very serious violation. That's an itza deraisa. That's perhaps why the Shulchan Aruch shied away from it. But for the Ashkenazim, who we assume like Tosfos, so the bracha levatala is only dirabanan, so because we want to try to get two brachas, because they're two different mitzvahs, it's not so bad saying a bracha levatala that's an itza deraban. Nah, but we say baruch shem afterwards. So that also might be an explanation. But with Rav Asher Weiss, he doesn't talk about this. He talks about how baruch shem works. How baruch shem kvod malchus olam ved works after saying a bracha levatala. So he says, either it's going to be, it's by you saying a bracha followed by baruch shem, it's as if you never said a bracha. It's being mishabeach, actually get the language out. He's medayik from the Rambam. But firstly, the source of saying baruch shem is based on Yerushalmi brachos, that one should say this, and Tosfos and brachos lamates brings this down. But the chakir he raises, is this going to be a tikkun, as if you never said bracha latala, it undid it, not undid it. It was never even chal, or you did an iser, but baruch shem is the tshuva for undoing. So he says, if you look at the language of the Rambam, Rambam writes, notel ochel uberich alav v'nafal miyado. He picks up a fruit, says a bracha, and it drops from his hand. And then it gets dirty, can't eat it anymore. Tzarech lomar, baruch shem, kidei shelo lehotzi shem shemayin levatala. So that it shouldn't be a bracha levatala in the first place. That by saying a baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, she'akol nehyeh bedvaro, and that baruch shem afterwards, that was not a bracha levatala. That was on a baruch shem. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch language, he's medayik, it says, tzarech lomar baruch shem, al shehoti shem shemayin levatala, because you said the bracha, so it's fixing what you did, while Rambam says you never even did an isra in the first place. And one nafkamina he explains is, how soon afterwards do you have to say baruch shem? If baruch shem is as if the shem shemayin was ever chal, so then you have to do it miyad. But if it was just tshuva, I could do tshuva for an aver today, I could do it a year from now, I could do it 10 years from now, the tshuva could be whenever you want. And that's what he says in nafkamina. It's very meduk in the Rambam, because the Rambam that we have on our page here, when in terms of the, we don't have it here on the page, but he writes in Hilchos Tshuva, in Hilchos Shavuos, he says, in the language of, Yimahir miyad v'yishbach, you should quickly say baruch shem and give the shevach immediately, this way it was never an isser in the first place, while the Shulchan Aruch language never used the word miyad. Just say baruch shem whenever you want. So that's an interesting conversation. He talks about whether it has to be toch tzedei dibur or not. He doesn't think it has to be toch tzedei dibur. But that's the sugya of saying a bracha latala, namely if it's an isser deraisa or an isser midirabanan. I want to speak now just quickly about bracha and bris milah, since that's the conversation here, how the two of them are very much connected. And the Sfarim talk about how those who are Shomer, the Os Bris Kodesh, are Zocha to Bracha, and those who are not, the Rachman Atzlan, are not Zocha to Bracha. And this connects very much to Yosef et Tzadik, who's a source of all Bracha of Yosef et Tzadik, and the Yisod, Tzadik Yisod Olam. So there's a fascinating, I'm going to go back a little bit, a few parashios, a number of parashios, but back in the end of Sefer Shmos and Pekudei, so the Svarim write to ask a question, Kedushas Levi, and the Ovi Yisrael ask a question of the Mishkan was so defined. The Mishkan is very defined, all the dimensions, all the pieces, the wood and the metal, the gold, the silver, it's very defined. And yet the Mishkan was a source of the greatest bracha in the world. So they ask, how could that be possible? If the Gemara tells us in Tainus that Ein bracha mitzuya lo b'davar ha-shakol, lo b'davar ha-madud, lo b'davar ha-manoy, el b'davar ha-samim in ayin. The only time bracha is chal is when things dafka aren't measured. But the moment you measure something, the moment you count your bank account, you count your grapes, you count your apples, there's no more bracha anymore. So if the Mishkan is so defined and so confined and restricted, how could it be the biggest source of bracha? And the answer is that it depends how you look at something. It goes back to Bilam. We're still in the parsha of Bilam now. This coming week's parsha, we see the death of Bilam. Bilam looked at everything with ayin hara. And that meant he looked at everything with kinnah, with jealousy. It's not about being defined or not defined. It's not about numbers or not numbers, measurements, weights. It's all about how you look at things. If you look at something, your property, someone else's property, with the eyes of Bilam, with the eyes of jealousy, so then that's going to, without explaining how it works, because I don't know how it works, it's going to have some ayin hara on that item. It will prevent any bracha. But the way a yid looks at something, the ayin tov of a yid is that we're not looking what someone else has. We're looking at the godless of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning my success, your success, is not our success. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu success. Anytime there's success in this world, there's atzlacha, there's bracha, it all comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not kina. When you look at someone else's, his big house, his nice car, his clothing, his job, and that's coming from a place of kina, then that's ayin hara, that limits. There's no bracha. When you look at something coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you're happy for that guy. You're happy for his position, you're happy for his job and his house and his car and his family, that it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's how a yid looks at something. So that's the Mishkan. You look at the Mishkan, you didn't see the dimensions. You didn't see the craftsmanship of Bezalel and Moshe. You saw Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation. And when you look at it that way, then even that which is defined with dimensions has a tremendous amount of bracha. And that's why if you take a look at the Gematria of Kina, which is a Imakol is 157, and the Gematria of Bracha is 227, the difference is 70, ayin. The difference between Kina and Bracha is ayin, 70. Depending how you look at something, ayin tov versus ayin ra, that's going to define whether it's a place of Bracha or a place of Kina. And this works out very nicely, because we know Mishkan Shiloh ended up being in Shiloh, which was the Chelek of Yosef at Tzadik. And the Kotzker explained the mission in Maseches Megillah that when it comes to eating Ma'is Hasheni and Kachim Kalam, you have to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim. When it comes to Mishkan Shiloh, you can eat wherever Bechor Ro'eh, wherever you see it. Kotzker explained because since Mishkan Shiloh was in Chelek of Yosef, and Yosef, as we know from the Pesukim, was Olei Ayin, who was above Ayin Hara, it was all about the bracha that came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was his whole essence. Yosef was about bringing bracha to all Mitzrayim. So when you look in that way, so the Mishkan Shiloh, Chelek of Yosef, was limited. There was no walls. It was all Bechorah, anything you see. As long as that ayin, as long as that vision is from a place that's tov, a place that's good, so then that's going to lead to a place of bracha. And that's why the Sfarim point out that the word bracha itself, the Beis Chaf Resh, the Bechor also, Yosef was a Bechor. The letters of 2, 20, and 200, they continue to multiply in doubles like that, because it all comes from Yosef Tzadik, who's the Koach HaBracha, and of course is the Bechor. And this explains, I know we're not in, we're finishing up Midbar now, but now to go back to Sefer Shmos, because this is where this discussion really is found, that's why Sefer Shmos and Tziv has a fascinating discussion in the beginning of the Hisakdama to Sefer Shmos. And he asks the question, how come every other one of the Chamishi Chumshei Torah has a name to it, a nickname? Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah, and Vayikra is called is Tarskanim, Bamidbar is Pekudim, and Devarim is Mishnah Torah. But there is no name for Shmos other than Chumasheni. They call it Chumasheni, that's what Shmos is called. So the Netziv has his pshat, why? But perhaps another reason why is because since Chumasheni is all about building the Mishkan, that was the climax of Sefer Shmos. The ending was the building of Vayakav Pekudim, building the Mishkan, which is the source of Bracha. So Chumasheni, that Beis, the second one, the Beis of Bracha, the Beis of Bechor, the double portion, that's the essence of Chumasheni. And this goes back to Yosef Tzadik, that point we start off with saying that when as long as a person is Shomer Os Bris Kodesh, so then a person will be Zocha to all the Bracha in the world. Okay.